I believe that the Lord is going to impact our lives in a very powerful way. The way I see it, every time we come together, every time we hear the word of God, every time God speaks to any particular aspect of our lives, He is loading us up, filling us to get to that place of baptism in Him. Amen? The Bible tells us that on the day of Pentecost, that the disciples were filled, but the promise was baptism. And I believe that that promise of baptism that we in this age and time will experience it, that we will flow in that dimension. I remember many years ago, I've told you this story before, many years ago, must have been around 70, not 70s, sometime around 87. We were at the R.F. Morrison Elementary School at the time. And I remember one day, the presence of God was so strong. And I was walking. You know, as I walk now, I can feel my feet. I can feel my feet walking. I can feel it. Because of my weight, I can feel it. But all of a sudden, I couldn't feel my feet. It wasn't that my feet were numb or anything like that. I just couldn't feel my feet. I felt like I was floating. So I looked down, and my feet were still touching the ground, but there's this sensation of floating. And I turned, and I looked in a particular area, and the power of God hit that particular area. Boom! People were falling under the power of God. I'm falling under the power of God. I said, Lord, what is this? He said, this is something you've not experienced before. I said, what is it? He said, I'm causing you to taste what baptism looks like, baptism in the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, so this is how it's going to be. He says, because you're going to be moving. It's effortless. Hallelujah. I believe that now that God is talking about the manifestation of His glory, that we are going to move in an effortless anointing and grace. Amen? Hallelujah. I am believing God for strongholds to be destroyed tonight. Amen. Glory be to God. Strongholds will be destroyed tonight. Amen. You receive it?
Yes.
Wherever those strongholds are, whatever they are, tonight they come down.
Amen.
Glory be to God. I believe that the days of struggling will end for us tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I take a hold of that word, Father. I take a hold of it. And I declare in Jesus' name that it is so. There is an interesting passage of Scripture that the Lord wants me to talk to us about today. I wouldn't have relayed this to this particular time of ministry, but the Lord has a message He wants to communicate to us. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Interestingly enough, this particular experience or story is stated in Matthew, it's stated in Mark, it's stated in Luke, but John does not reference it at all. It is a story of two people, but primarily one person. And if we get to go to the second person, we will do so. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 40, Luke 8 and verse 40. Actually, why don't I do this? Let me start from verse 1 first. I want to make note of something in verse 1, and then we'll go to verse 40. It says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village. He went How? Throughout every city and village. And this year is going to be a worldwide move. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of something. I don't know why this, but I'm going to talk about it. I remember many years ago, we used to have daily services every day. We had services at noon till 1 o'clock for about, I don't know how many years, maybe 7+ years. We had everyday services. And one of those services, an angel of the Lord came and spoke to me about an instruction. And the instruction was about a 40-day fast or something like that. He said, I want you to take the congregation through a 40-day fast. And then he said, and I am now going to your brethren to tell them, give them the same instruction. So I said, oh. And would you know it? All over, different ones started saying, God says we should go on a 40-day fast. God said we should go on a 40-day fast. And just a moment ago, the Lord says, what I'm about to tell you now, that you're going to hear it repeated again and again and again and again amongst those who are his called and chosen. Amen? There's going to be a repetition. He says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city, went throughout every village, preaching and showing what? The glad tidings. The glad tidings. The announcement of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And the what? 12 were with him. I want you to make notice of the word 12. Because 12 is a number that represents leadership and government. 12. Leadership, government. It represents the setting of God, the setup of God. It represents the setup that God will use to impact the world. It represents the order of God. And so the next statement the Word of God is going to show to us, now that the government of God has come into place, now that God is ministering His Word throughout, is that there is going to be an explosion against the government of hell. So when we come to verse 2, we're going to read something like this. And certain women which had been healed of what? Evil spirits and what? Infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, you see that? Out of whom went what? 7 devils. In other words, as he preached the good news, the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, the government and the control of hell was broken. I declare in Jesus' name that wherever you and I go, that the strongholds of darkness will be broken. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now let's go on to verse 40. Luke 8 and verse 40. Luke 8, 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, when he returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all what? Waiting for him. The people gladly received him, for they were waiting for him. And it is in that setting of the Lord returning and the people waiting for him, receiving him gladly. This is one of the only place I can think of right now where people are waiting for him to receive him gladly. And why are they waiting for him to receive him gladly? Because the message he went to preach was the message, the glad message. Hallelujah. The message that you preach is a message that will always go ahead of you. Amen? And God is telling us that what we need to expect is good. That he's a good God. And that what we should expect from him is only good. That we must now begin to reject that which is evil. So wherever you go, good, 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 good. Even when something bad seems to be happening, there is good behind it. Amen? God has good on his mind. It came to pass that he was received gladly. Verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the what? Synagogue. Oh, now that's strange. Because rulers of the synagogue don't come to Jesus. No. They attack Jesus. They don't come and openly ask for help. And that's exactly what's going to begin to happen. That people that you thought will never come to ask for help are going to begin to show up asking for help. Hallelujah. And there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he will come into his house. Now, that's another no-no. The ruler of the synagogue asking Jesus to come to his house. This is unusual. Because, you see, when Jesus began to preach the glad news of the kingdom, he was beginning to reveal certain things about kingdom living. And now it's impacting his environment. It's touching every aspect around him. And this man is saying to him, come to my house. I've got an issue. Come to my house. And then it says, verse 42, for he had one only daughter. No. Excuse me. If you say, for he had one daughter, that should be enough. But it says, for he had one only daughter. One only daughter. This is his only daughter. About how many years old? 12 years of age. Something happening here. 12 years of age. And she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. The people were pressing on him. They were squeezing him as he went. The people thronged him. And the Bible tells us in this particular passage in Luke 8, it says that while this was happening, something else was also going on. Verse 43. It says, and a woman having an issue of blood, how many years? 12 years. Remember what we talked about, 12. Government, leadership. So, Jairus, the religious man, has a daughter that's 12 years old. There is this woman who has an issue of blood, 12 years. There's a 12-year-old child here. That 12-year-old child is dying. This woman here, 12 years, and she has an issue of blood. She cannot even get pregnant, so she cannot even have these 12 years. There's no manifestation here. But that which was first manifested is dying. Are you with me? The first one is dying, and this one, nothing is happening. And she, the Bible, which had spent all her living, spent all her resources, spent all her money upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Nobody could solve her problem. She kept on bleeding. She kept on bleeding. And the Bible says in verse 44, she came behind him. Amen? Someone say, she came behind him. She came where? Behind him. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. She came behind him and touched the hem, the border of his garment. She came behind him. When she came behind him, she was following him. In essence, she was stepping on the places that he's already stepped on. Are you with me? She's following him, but she has one thing on her mind. I want to touch the hem of his garment. Haptomahi. Haptomahi is not I touched. No. That word means that she connected. That word means that she attached. If I can just attach myself to the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be healed. So many of us just are casual. We just, No. She grabbed it. Do you understand? She grabbed that thing and pulled something out. Now, let's understand that Jesus said, I can't do anything except what I see the Father do. But he is about to express something that we have never heard Jesus express. Shock and surprise. Not because of how she acted, but the fact that something came out of him. Somebody forced something out of him that he did not volunteer. Yeah. Is somebody listening yet? Somebody came and this surprised him. I thought God knew everything. Yes, he knows everything. But somebody surprised him one day. And the person that surprised him was this woman. The Bible tells us in other passages that she was weak. From this bleeding, all this bleeding that she's going through, she's weak. She's weak. She doesn't have the capacity, but something was pulling her. The Bible says she came behind him and touched, haptomai, touched the border of his garment. And immediately, someone say immediately. Immediately, not later, immediately, her issue of blood stanched. In other words, it stopped. Someone say, it stopped. Whatever area in my life that I'm bleeding, that's causing me to be unfruitful, today in the name of Jesus, it must stop. Because today I'm going to make that connection. I am going to grab a hold of the Lord and not let go. Is there anybody here tonight who is going to grab a hold of the hem of his garment and say, God, you are not going anywhere until I get what I came here for. There was a man called Jacob. He wrestled. So you can't go anywhere until I get blessed. And you're not going nowhere. Not today. You are not going anywhere until I get what I came here for. Nobody can match up with God. Is it really true that Jesus was really, really surprised? I don't think so. Just trying to make a point. Just like Jacob wrestled with that angel and you must be dreaming to think that Jacob can really wrestle with the angel. When the angel was ready to go, he just tapped. And he's the bone went off. So what was it? It is play wrestling. The kind of wrestling I would do with my grandson. Oh, you beat me. That was it. But the determination that you want to be connected to this reminds me, I might have told you this story many years ago. It's a story I will never forget, or an experience I will never forget. It was during the Nigerian Civil War. We were in a town called Iri in Isoko land, where I come from in Nigeria. And my mom and I were in this veranda, and we had some melon shells that were breaking. Nigerians call it egusi. So we're breaking the shells. And so she had her bowl, and I had my bowl. And we were breaking the shells and and I'm telling her, I'm going to win you. I'm going to beat you at breaking shells. And she says, you can't. I'm going to win. And she's breaking hers, and she put a few on her plate. And I said, I told you, I'm winning. And then when we finished, she opened her hand. I was not even close. Not even close. I said, wow, you made me feel like I was winning. That's what God wants to do in this last of the last days. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the one going to live his life through you. But you think you're the one doing it. Not you, it's not you. It has nothing to do with you, it's him. All him. Hallelujah. Don't get arrogant. Just understand this is God doing his thing. Hallelujah. So it was. This woman went. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And what does that mean? She didn't go for the shoulder. That was easy. She didn't go for the waist. That is easy. Remember, the people are thronging. They're pressing on him. And she is going for the hem of his garment. That means she had to humble herself. Those that are going to move in this dimension must learn humility. Not pride. You say, what's pride? Your pride is based on how you think you have prayed and how you have fasted and how much the word of God you know. But this dimension is beyond that. Because where God wants to take you and I is different. This is different. This is not like what used to be.
This is not something that you're going to go read in somebody's biography. This is a new thing. What God wants to do now is a new thing, and new players are going to come to play. This woman spent everything. She'd done everything, and nobody could solve her problem. Nobody. The best of the physicians, and she spent everything. You know that you're in the right place and the right time when you come to God and you say, I have nothing. I have nothing. I've done everything I know how to do, and I've gotten no results. So if anything is going to happen now, it's going to be because of you. So I humble myself. I connect myself to you. Amen? I connect. Some say, I connect. I'm not here just to join other people in squeezing Jesus, grabbing anything that we can grab without purpose. I have a purpose, and that purpose, God, is this: I need to experience the ability to be strong again, to be strengthened again, to be empowered again, to walk free again. God, I cannot remain the same old person I used to be. 12 years, that's enough. The grace of leadership must be established again in my life. I cannot have leadership that are scattering all over the place. This must stop. This must stop. Hallelujah. Somebody said, this must stop. My finances, I'm bleeding my finances away. I can't put two pennies together.
Well, I guess we can't do that anymore here.
But you understand the point. You understand the point. Working so hard and nothing to show for it. Nothing. It's not a lack of working. It's not a lack of praying. It's not a lack of knowing the word of God. I have prophesied and quoted all I want. But I got a mountain here that's asking me, who do you think you are? My problem is tearing me down. And God, I don't know what to do. There's nothing else to do, but I see you, and I'm coming behind, believing your word. Every step that you've taken, I'm looking at your promises. I see your promises that you healed, you delivered, you set free. You delivered that woman, Mary Magdalene, out of seven demons. I hear that the deaf are hearing. I hear that the blind are seeing. God, I want to see and I want to know what you have done. I thank you, God. I can celebrate them. I celebrate and I thank you, but God, it's got to be my turn sometime. And now got to be my, it's my turn. It's my turn now. I can't wait anymore. I am connecting. I gotta connect. I can't wait. Waiting has been 12 years. That's too much. It's too much. Because I don't know if I can see 13. People say 13 is an unlucky number. I don't know what they are talking about. But this woman definitely knew she was not going for 13. My problem stops today. Amen. I say in the name of Jesus, your problem stops today. I say in Jesus' name, my problem stops today. I say in Jesus' name, the problems of glory and peace stop today. There must be a breakthrough. A breakthrough in our businesses, a breakthrough in our marriages, a breakthrough in our families, a breakthrough in our relationships, a breakthrough at our workplaces, a breakthrough for our country, in the name of Jesus. God, we've got to have the right kind of government. Yes. We're tired of the tricksters promising us that they're going to heal us. And after we've paid all the money, the bleeding continues. I paid, but my bleeding is still here. And Jairus is saying, I have been serving God, and my child is dying. My child is dying. My only daughter is dying, which means that the daughter that is going to birth children is dying. It's dying. It's got to be a change. Verse 45. Jesus said, who haptomai me? Who touched me? Who fastened, that's the word, fastened themselves to me? Who did that? Now, understand that the woman touched him and she left, but he's using a word that said that she was still connected to him. She may not be there, but she's connected. I have partners who used to attend and have left. But till this very day, as I'm talking to you, they are still fasting.
Hallelujah.
Every month. They've not been in this church for 12 years. They've not been here for 14 years. They are still giving every month. And they outgive the people that are, even some of the people that are in here. Connected. You understand? Connected. And when they're going through stuff, so I'm connected to the anointing. And the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens takes them through it. Hallelujah. Connection. What are you connected to? Because just as well as you can connect, you can disconnect. How do you disconnect? You see, you disconnect when you get yourself unplugged. We're having lunch with a family this afternoon, and this sister talked about their grandchild going to a computer to work on the computer, but the computer was not coming on. What's wrong? It was unplugged. You cannot unplug. You see, you still have the plug. The prongs are still there. But as soon as you take it off, even though you have proximity to the socket, it does not give you power. Proximity is not. You can be in this church. They're listening to me right now and be disconnected, and there will be no power. You understand? No power. It's not that the power is absent, it's that you have not just connected. You got to stay connected to what God is saying and doing. You know, some people say, well, I'll listen online. Good.
You listening online, are you listening connected or listening disconnected? Because there's a whole world of difference between the two. Huh? If you are disconnected, I have my phone. If I don't charge that thing, after I've used it a while, the battery dies. I got to charge it. And to charge it, I have to connect to a power source. Yeah? Okay. Jesus says, who touched me? Who connected? Who got fastened to me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude what? Thronged thee, not touched thee. Thronged. Two separate things. They're busy squeezing, pressing. But not connected. Thronged him, but not connected. The multitude thronged thee and what? Press thee. They throng you and they are pressing on you, and you saying, who, what? Happened to my ear. And you saying, who happened to my ear? He's using two different words, but he's using the right words. Happened to my ear is fasting, locked in, engaged, thronging, pressing. All those are activities, but nonsense. You and I need to be connected. Amen? You and I need to be connected. They throng thee. They press on you. And you're saying, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody had touched me. Somebody has connected to me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. What is that word? Virtue is the same word for power. Dynamic power. Dunamis. It says, there was a power surge, a power leak. something happened. Somebody drained some power out of me. Somebody just got connected and the load got heavy. Hallelujah. You know, if you have a generator and the generator is running and you start turning on switches, it runs at a particular level, and then when you really put a load on it, it goes. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, somebody just pulled a load on me. Hallelujah. Somebody just did something. Somebody just pulled something. All these other people, they were just touching and touching and touching and touching and touching, but somebody just pulled something. Virtue, dynamic power just flowed out of me. The meter just read. Hallelujah. The meter just went crazy just now. Somebody just did something and the meter just... I feel it. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now, What causes this woman to come like this?
The rule said that she should not. The rule said that she should tie something on her or broadcast that she was unclean. The rule said you cannot touch the rabbi. The rule said that she cannot. But she said, if I only can, I say in the name of Jesus that you will be that one who says, if I only can, and I can, I'm going to engage. I'll be fastened to the hem of his garment.
This woman about. You see, it takes a mind shift, a paradigm shift, to knock off all the reasons why you cannot. I cannot receive this because. And I say to you, you know, if you're looking for reasons not to, why you can't, the devil will help you with a good list. Yeah, he'll help you. He'll show you all the reasons. All the reasons why you don't qualify.
But you got to make that shift and recognize at least one reason why you should. And don't let go of that mind set. One. And her reason is 12 years too much. No more money to solve this problem. The man is here now. I will get what I need now and apologize later. That's it. I'm going to apologize later, but right now we're going to solve this problem. Hallelujah. We're going to solve the problem now. We can deal with the consequences later, but right now I'm getting what I came here for. If I have to push them away, I'm going to push. But today, this problem is going to get solved. Because tomorrow, I don't want to wait for tomorrow. Come on. Tomorrow, I want to have a party. But today, this problem must be solved. Whatever financial problem, whatever relational problem, whatever ministry problem, whatever the problem is, can we agree that it can stop today? That the bleeding must stop now. The bleeding in leadership, the bleeding in governance, the bleeding that causes me to remain unfruitful and incapable of giving birth, that must stop now. I'm getting too old for this. We got to change gears now. And that's where she was. She was fed up of her situation. You know, too many times we tolerate and celebrate our problems because we think that those problems are stars and trophies of our ability to endure. Endurance is a good thing. I'm not beating endurance. It's a good thing. There's a place for endurance. But there is a place where you have to say, I don't need to endure anymore. I need to celebrate. Yeah. Amen? No more enduring. Thank you, Lord, for endurance. But we've endured already for 12 years. Now let it be a new day. Yeah. Amen? Let it be a new day. I am tired of being the bridesmaid. I want to be the bride. How long am I going to be the bridesmaid? I've already gone bridesmaid. Now I'm chief bridesmaid. She. No. Put my ring here. Hallelujah. God, if the man has not been created yet, create that one now because I'm attaching. You're not going nowhere. Where is my man? Where is my wife? Where are my children? If you're really serious Nigerian, where is my children's? Yeah, let's do this thing. Let's do it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. No. Too much is really too much. Hallelujah. And God understands it, please. God understands it. He understands. He's the one who said, you've gone around this mountain too long. You've gone around and around. It's too much now. We got to go in. Father, in the name of Jesus, take us into the promised land. Take us into the place of destiny. We must break forth in the mighty name of Jesus. We connect. The amazing statement of the Lord is so interesting. He says, in verse 40, he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in irene. Or if this was in the Old Testament, go in shalem. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Everything restored. Your faith, daughter, be of good comfort. What did he say? Good. What did he say? Good. Not just comfort. Good comfort. Good comfort. Some say good comfort. God is saying to us, it's time for good. Hallelujah. It's time for good. Good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Wait a minute, I thought it was the power. No, he said, thy faith made you whole. The day that you decided that you are going to connect with me, that day, that moment, you became whole. But you came here believing that you're going to receive healing. But you came and you received something more than what you came for. You came and you received power. Power. Power came out of me. You and I are going to receive more than what we bargained for. And it will be a good thing. You know, normally when you say you got what more than what you bargained for, it's trouble. Yeah. it means you got trouble. But this, you got more than you bargained for, is good. Better. Best. Hallelujah. Upgrade. Upgrade. Hallelujah. I say upgrade. In the name of Jesus, supernatural upgrade. Yeah. Someone say, upgrade me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Upgrade. Better than what I ever thought. He will do exceedingly far above, far beyond anything that you dare ask or think. That's what happened to this woman. She was thinking something, and God did exceedingly far above. If you think you can, they say, you will. Let God help us with renewal of our minds. Hallelujah. Let me just touch on the second person. We started out with Jairus. While this woman who had the issue of blood, 12 years, cut in. That's exactly what she did. Jesus was going to Jairus' house and she cut in. She cut the line. Hallelujah. She just jumped to the front. Trump won't like this. People jumping the line. Coming into the country. But this woman was not about to wait. She jumped the line. And while she's celebrating, news came. Verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. It's okay. She's dead. You don't need him to come anymore. It's finished. It's beyond repair. Finito. What does Jesus do? Verse 50. He says, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not. How did Jesus hear it? Because Jairus went to him and said, I guess we don't need you to come anymore. But interestingly enough, Matthew tells us differently. Matthew tells us that he came to the Lord and told him, my daughter is dead. My daughter is dead. And Jesus says to him, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, so you believe in God for something. You want something from God, and other people jumped ahead and are getting things done for them. And your situation gets worse, not better. It's not too late. The God who started out always completes the journey. If he starts moving in your direction, he will always complete the journey. Glory be to God. He will complete it. If he said, I'm coming, he's coming. That is a guarantee. Because every promise that God makes is a covenant promise. A covenant is getting attached. You hook up to me, I hook up to you. Jairus, in spite of all of the repercussions and the consequences of you coming, and the fact that other synagogue leaders are going to start persecuting you and saying, how dare you? How dare you go join yourself with that guy? Reminds me, many years ago, there was a camp here, Rock Lake. They were about to go under. Things were really bad. And the man running Rock Lake at the time prayed and asked God, said,
What should I do? I don't even have speakers. I cannot afford them. What can I do? What can I do? And God said, go to Winnipeg and go to Mike Zeno. Invite him to come speak. So he came, and at that time, just on the opposite side of where Grapes is on Main Street, there was a restaurant there called Grapes, I think. Remember? So he took me down there, and we had lunch, and he tells me his situation and says, will you come? I said, sure, I will come. I'll come. My dates are free, and I'll come. He didn't tell me how bad things were. You know, I was just, somebody's inviting me to come speak. I didn't know what I was going into. So he left there happy that I was coming. He went and told some other ministers in the city. I didn't know about this until afterwards. And they went up and down him. How dare you? Who did you invite? That guy? Something is wrong with you, man. So on the day that I was going there, there was only one person registered to come to camp. When I got to camp, there was only, I didn't know any of this. You know, I'm going to be speaking at Rock Lake. Hallelujah, praise God. I didn't know what the problem was. So I'm there. But within hours, people started calling and registering. And we had a powerful time. But the amazing thing is, during that week of meetings, we raised, God used me, and we raised so much money that they have, the guy said, in our history, we've never had that kind of money. So they invited me the second year and the third year, and when time was, of course, they would invite me again. You understand? This guy, he just came and just did his thing. And so God resurrected that ministry. So when he saw what had happened, he came and told me, he said, Pastor, I have to tell you something. This is what happened. And so he told me this story I just told you. I said, wow, I didn't know that. But that's exactly what Jairus is going to face. How dare you? You invited who? To where? For what? And this is going to explain the reason why Jesus is going to tell him something at the end. So he says, just believe. Don't worry about this. And he goes with him to his house. He gets there, and the people are,
oh, she was such a wonderful girl. Oh, who's going to give you children now? Oh,
Jesus, get these people out of here. All of you, out, out, out. Now, Matthew or Mark is going to give us some more details, because he takes his disciples, some of his disciples, in with the father and the mother. And the scripture says, the parents and the disciples, when Jesus said, he is sleeping, they joined the gang that is outside, mocking Jesus. Said, come on, come on. We know you can open blind eyes. Come on. The girl is dead. Stone cold dead. Sleeping. She's a stiff. Don't you see? She's all stressed out. Say so she's sleeping. Is that how people sleep? Get out. Out. Goes to the child and says, arise. And I believe that that's the word that God is speaking to every one of us tonight. Arise. Amen? The woman with the issue of blood, when she touched the hem of his garment, arose. Everyone, whether Jesus touches you or you touch him, will receive the same exact result. You will rise.
I declare in Jesus' name that everyone in this house rises up by the authority of the word of the living God. Arise in your business. Arise in your family. Arise in your ministry. Arise everywhere you are. Know the fullness of the power of the living God. Somebody shout, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is time to rise. 12 years old, and she rose. 12 years with the issues of blood, and she was raised up. Because God wants to attack that number to make sure that the grace of leadership and governance be healed. I declare it over this church, over our families. I declare it over our country. Tomorrow we are going to go out and we are going to cast our vote. I pray in the name of Jesus that the bleeding in Canada ceases.
Amen.
That we receive resurrection life.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's not everybody. Oh, but if somebody touches the Lord and connects, God will do something.
Yes. Amen.
Say, Lord, do something, do something, do something for us now. In Jesus' name. God is a God who raises up and God who can tear down. Let every stronghold be torn down and let grace abound towards his people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.